I'm going to do something tonight that I don't think I've ever done differently. But I want to do something tonight that is different, and I think it's different in a good way. Let me tell you why I'm thinking what I'm thinking tonight. I was in college, and I heard a preacher say this. He said the Spirit of God spoke to him, and he said, "Preacher, I want you to know this, that it's not your words, it's my words. It's not your oratory skills, it's the power and the Word of God." And he said, "God put it on me to just simply open the Bible and read. We're not going to do that totally, but it's going to be close. And I want us to do that tonight." Now, how many of you have any idea how many wars are going on right now in this old world? Now, you know about Iran. You know about Ukraine. But did you know that there's 128 others? Right now, according to Mr. Google Pants this afternoon, there's 130 wars and skirmishes that are happening right now on this globe. Everywhere we turn, what Jesus preached in Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars, it's everywhere. You think about our country. We have been the shining light on the hill, really, for the last 150 years. Now, I know we're about to turn 250, but people didn't really give us much, you know, much hope in the first 100. But in the last 150 years, we kind of like, we've been the standard. And I think we're still the standard. But did you know that we're $39 trillion in debt? $39 trillion in debt. There's not a person here that can count to 1 trillion, much less 39. Most of us would have a hard time counting to a billion, myself included. I might could make it to a million. But a billion, I think, is 1,000 million. That's nuts. And I don't even know how to describe a trillion. But there's 39 of those, and that's how much we owe to bankers. We're in trouble. This whole world's in trouble. I'm going to get to the Bible reading in a minute. Just this week, I was watching a speech from the King of England. How many of you know who that is? Charles, all right? He don't instill much confidence in me. He was talking about the trouble that we have and that it may come to the point to where the nations have to give him, and he used that pronoun, him, gave him their power to try to straighten it out. I saw him say that in that speech, and I thought, listen to that again. And all I'm thinking is, who's the him? He didn't say Jesus. There was a UN man about 5 years ago, he said, we need a man. Whether he be good or whether he be evil, but we need a man that we can basically give the power to straighten this out. And so I began thinking about all of that stuff this afternoon, and I just thought, you know what? We're just going to spend a little time encouraging each other tonight. And so I've given the message this title, The Before Picture, The After Picture. I want you to look with me, and Karen, I'm going to try to give you a heads up as much as I can with these verses, all right? I want you to look with me at Psalm 22, verse 27. And I'm just going to read it off the screen. I'm not even going to turn to it. Now I want you to think about the nations, all right? The whole world, all of these countries. And all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. That's positive, isn't it? And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. That's positive. Isaiah 2, verse 2, and the first part of verse 3. Isaiah 2, 2, it says this. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This past week, there was a missile that was launched from Iran. It hit 400 meters from the Temple Mount. You say, how far is 400 meters? Well, a meter is just a little bit more than a yard. So think about 3.5 feet per meter times 400, probably talking about 1,300 feet. 1,300 feet is like from here to center field of the ball field. What if that had have hit on the Temple Mount and that Islamic mosque would have been gone, and the Iranians would have been the one that did it? You see, right now, they're just throwing anything they can against the wall to see if something good can happen. Right now, there is nobody that really wants that job. I saw something in the Babylonian Bee the other day. If you don't know what that is, it's a satirical website. And this was what came out. Iran wants the U.S. to know that they have a stockpile of Ayatollahs. You'll get that in a moment. There's a stockpile of Ayatollahs. There's going to be a new temple that's built. It's going to be a good thing because we're going to be able to see the Lord one day sit on his throne. Now, we're going to get to the before picture in a moment. We're still reading. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. And I hope I wrote these down right. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Go to Philippians 2, verse 7 through 11. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We talked about that this morning. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then I want you to go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and of kindreds and of people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. All of those verses are positive verses. Now, we're going to do some more reading. I want you to go with me to Isaiah 59. And the first thing we're going to see tonight is we're going to see the picture before and what it looks like right now. All right? So there's a before picture, there's an after picture. All right? Now, we're going to look at Isaiah 59, and we're going to look at verse 14. That will be our go-to verse for this first part. There's four things in this verse. These four things hold societies together. If you do not have these things, then society begins to fragment and everything just turns into chaos. It runs amok. So it says, and judgment is turned away backward. The way to discern things, the way things are decided, good judgment, it is now turned backward. Does that sound like the world today? It certainly does. And justice standeth afar off. There are certain things that are right, and it seems like that it is not even close to what the Bible would ascribe as being correct. Truth is fallen in the street. I mean, we've got people today, and they claim to know Christ. There's a battle going on now between a guy that's running for the Senate in Texas, who is a guy named Tallarico. And Trump said something about his Christianity the other day, and I think this guy's now responded with something about Trump's Christianity. All right? These guys, they don't, you know, they wouldn't know truth if it slapped them in the face. Neither one of them. I don't really believe that either one of them know much about the Bible. You begin to twist the scripture this way and twist it that way, and so you have truth, and it's falling in the street. The fourth thing is equity. Or basically, whenever I think of equity, I'm not thinking about the DEI type stuff. I'm thinking about uprightness. We have nonsense that is everywhere. I mean, there's things that take place today and language that is used in places today that used to have some semblance of morality. People would never have cursed in the halls of Congress when I was a kid. If you cursed as a congressman or as a senator, that was going to be in the next campaign ad against you. But yet we hear that constantly now. I'll go so far as to say, what about the cursing from the Oval Office? That would have never been tolerated in the previous generations. But we have become such a coarse type of people that it's that way. There are things that are said now in court cases that would have never been dreamed of a generation ago. I'm talking about things that are said on public television, things that are said not on cable, I'm talking about things that would be said on the airwaves. And it's just common language. It's the vernacular now. And so we see that these four things have now really permeated society. And I see that every single day. When I click on these aggregate news sites and I begin to read this article and that article and what happened overnight in Detroit and what happened in Chicago and what happened in Jerusalem and what happened in these other places, and all of, I'm just thinking, man, we're going nuts. And we're doing it on a bullet train. It seems like that if you think there's nothing else that can shock you and you get shocked. It just blows you away. I want you to see, even if you try to do right, what happens to you. Look at verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. In other words, you can try to do right, and you will be punished for doing right. I mean, you try to be a person of integrity, and you're mocked for being honest. You try to be a person that keeps your word, and you get mocked for trying to be an honorable man or woman. It says, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now, verse 16, I believe, is a kind of a transition type verse. It begins at the end of 15 where it says that it displeased the Lord. Now in verse 16, it says, he saw that there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor. So in other words, there's something that God is understanding, that there's no man that is wanting to do right that's any type of leader. So God sees that. So what is the next thing? He says, therefore, his arm, God's arm, brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And so God decides to basically take care of this himself. Now, how does he do that? Look at verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. You have God that now takes upon the metaphor of a warrior. He sees the way that man is. He sees the way that they have basically turned their back on anything that is right, like we saw in verse 14, I believe it was. And so now God is saying, I'll deal with it because people will not. And so we see that he cloaks himself in this picture as that of a warrior. Look at verse 18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. What does that little phrase, to the islands, what does that mean? That means in every little place there is no way that you're going to escape the judgment of God. It's coming. You may think that you're in some little hamlet somewhere, that you're not in a big metropolitan city. No, no matter where you are at, it's coming. So there is a transition verse. So with all of the wars that we see going on and all of the nonsense that we see in the streets, with all of the killings and with all of the rapes and with all of the just horrible things that we see, God is ultimately going to deal with it. And all of those verses that we looked at just 10 minutes ago, I want you to remember that there's coming a day when there's an after picture. It's not just the before picture. Now, do I believe that the church is going to be the institution that brings this worldwide glory about? No. I do not. I think that when Jesus comes back at the rapture, the church is going to be flailing and failing right and left. I don't know where, if somebody thinks that the church is going to usher in the kingdom, I'd like to know where that revival is going on, because I'm not seeing it. I told the church, I think it was on Wednesday night, I saw a Church of God preacher the other day, and he was talking about some of the revivals that supposedly have taken place in the Assemblies of God denominations, and he talked about it's not real. It's all fabricated. It's all ginned up. And all I'm thinking is, I'd have to talk to him doctrinally, but he's pretty close to being a Baptist. And so you've got this before picture. But God's going to take care of it when the church does not. I want you to look with me at the after picture. Look at chapter 59, and I want you to look at verse 20 and 21. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Now remember, Zion is Jerusalem. But don't think just the city of Jerusalem. You're going to be thinking about the new Jerusalem in just a moment. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them. This is my promise with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. In other words, there is coming a time when God is going to have this set up forever. Now remember when God created in the six-day creation? What did it say? The Bible says that God saw that it was good. It was an absolutely perfect creation. But it was marred by sin. The old curse fell upon this earth, and the thorns and thistles have been with us ever since. But there's coming a time when all of that is going to change. There's going to come a time when truth will be in the streets. There's going to come a time when justice is going to be meted out, and it will be justice with integrity. And so what I want us to do now is I want us to look at the hope. Go to chapter 60 of Isaiah, and I want us to read just a little bit there. Then we're going to look at some other passages, and I'll be done. Isaiah 60, and I want you to look at verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Darkness is gone now. The light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, but gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. There is something that the light is going to come up. The dark nations are going to see this, and they're going to begin to move, and they're going to come toward that, and they're going to see this is the way that it's supposed to be. We'll not take time to go through all of chapter 60, but it says things like this, that they're going to bring the camels. They're going to bring the dromedaries, which is young camels. They're going to bring wood from like Lebanon. They're going to bring the cedars and the firs and even the boxwood. They're going to be bringing all of those types of trees. Why? Because they want to come and give gifts to the Lord for what he's done. And so we see that there is a beautiful, beautiful picture that is coming. Now, I want you to look with me at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Hebrews 12 in verse 22. Now, when we look at Isaiah and we think about Zion, we're thinking about physical Jerusalem. But I want you to notice Hebrews 12. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. There is a new Jerusalem that is coming. It's going to be our abode. And to an innumerable company of angels. So in other words, the angels are going to be around and they're going to be seeing all of this. But I want you to pay real close attention to those three words right in the middle, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're not going to be living in a place that has drive-bys, you know. I heard somebody ask Dennis Prager the other day, you know, they said, well, you know, where do you think is more dangerous than Tel Aviv right now? He said, any weekend in Chicago. I'm not disputing that. And so what I'm going to do now, and this is where I'm going to go to what that preacher said that he did. We're going to read the entire chapter of Revelation 21. Okay? So, let's load up Revelation 21, and we're just going to walk through it word by word, and we're going to let the Word of God speak to you just like it spoke to me this week. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Can you imagine that? God is going to be with us. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All of those things that you experience because of that sin nature, they're going to be done. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great wall, or had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, three gates, and on the north, three gates, and on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. That's about 1,500 miles. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Are you getting how beautiful this place is? The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Let me just stop there. We're not talking about pearls, that bunch of pearls that make up a gate. We're talking about one pearl, that's a gate. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. That phrase about the gate shut, that's also found in Isaiah. And they shall bring the glory and the honor and the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter in into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. One whole chapter of nothing but the glory of what's going to be. That's the after picture. It may look bleak right now, but that's temporary. But there's coming a time when the glory of God is going to be on display, not just in little snippets here and there. I see the glory of God in a lot of things every week. I tell people a lot of times, I'm not just having a good day, I'm having a great day. But I also look and I see nonsense that happens and it just sucks the life right out of you. But there's coming a day when all of that is going to be done away with. Why? Because the Lamb is going to be on the throne. And we're going to be in that new Jerusalem, and that after picture is going to be glorious. So I hope tonight that when you read the news, you see the news, you have people tell you the news, I hope that when it's all negative, 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 and you're watching the news, and if it bleeds, it leads, remember this: a better day is coming. And it could be soon.